This is 1A. I'm Joshua Johnson in Washington.
Put the fire out!
This is an emergency!
Put the fire out!
This is an emergency!
Put the fire out!
This is an emergency!
Put the fire out!
Depending on your route, driving to the Capitol this morning was nearly impossible on account of a protest that snarled traffic in Washington's core. Those stuck behind the wheel saw and heard these protesters and more, demanding action on a fire that threatens to burn the world down. Climate change. This week, we are focusing on how our lives are changing alongside the climate, both the dire predictions and the possible solutions. It's a special series we're calling No Plan B. We begin with today's politics, the protests happening in D.C. and elsewhere, as well as the voting decisions we'll be making next year. Joining us in studio is Reverend Lennox Yearwood, the CEO of Hip Hop Caucus, a national nonprofit organization to get young people involved in policy and politics. The group helped organize the Shutdown D.C. protest. Reverend Yearwood, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
We'll be discussing this for this first segment before we move on to how we vote based on climate change. So if you're taking part in any of these protests today, or if you just have questions or thoughts about them, email us 1A@WAMU.org, comment on our Facebook page, or tweet us at 1A. Tell us what you did this morning and where you were today.
Well, very simply, the hashtag is clear, Shutdown DC. I think that today's goal was to shut down D.C. because of the climate crisis, because our government is not transitioning fast enough from fossil fuels to clean energy. And the people were rising up and sick and tired of them being dependent on the fossil fuel economy and also the petroleum industry. And so people took to the streets all over D.C. to send a notice that this madness must stop now.
What did that shutdown look like?
It was actually one of the, for me, it was, I've been in a number of demonstrations throughout my life, but it was actually amazing. I mean, clearly, D.C. was completely shut down. Where I was at Massachusetts and North Capitol, which is right near Union Station, I mean, there was no traffic. So it was kind of eerie to be in D.C. on a Monday, not a holiday, in the middle of the street when there's no cars, was amazing. And it was very powerful because we understand that this creates some discomfort throughout the region. But again, we also understand that what's going on with hurricanes and wildfires and droughts, that we must stand up and make our voices heard now.
How did this protest shut down D.C.? How did it come about?
Well, I think it came about because I think people are just sick and tired of being sick and tired of their government officials not doing anything in a way to help us transition faster. We have a very limited time to make things happen. The IPCC report came out and simply said that we have, at that time, 12 years, now 11 years, to really make things happen before we go from climate, just being climate crisis, to climate adaptation. We're just dealing with sea level rises, dealing with droughts.
The IPCC report, this is this latest report commissioned by the UN about the
panel
state of climate.
On climate change, right, than by the UN. And so that came out, and the science is very clear. So now we need people power to now move forward and move the policy, as we've done before in our history, from women's rights and gay rights and civil rights. We need people power to literally push the agenda so that we can create the change that must be created.
Talk about the kinds of people who are out protesting and demonstrating today. What kinds of walks of life do they represent?
It was all walks. I mean, this actually was very important because sometimes our movement can be very siloed. People can say, oh, man, it's just primarily white people who are involved in that movement. That's coming down. We're breaking down those silos. So you had Black Lives Matter. You had the nurses. You had folks from labor unions. You had definitely young people and students. You had folks who are from the Enviros, like Chesapeake Climate Action Network, which I'm a part of, and other organizations. And so I think that was very powerful. And I think on the heels of the amazing climate strike that took place last Friday, I think on the heels of we had 4 million people across the world. I think one of the powerful things is that we knew that we could not allow for the fossil fuel industry to see us marching on Friday and come to work on Monday and be business as usual. And so we had to shut it down.
And there was a youth global climate strike a few days ago. Now this strike today, we will be talking about youth activism as it relates to climate change as our series continues. How do you think that today went? Was today's strike successful? Has it been successful so far in terms of what the goals are?
Today's strike was extremely successful because, one, just to see almost 1,500 people who signed up to be part of this demonstration, to put literally their bodies on the line to cause good trouble, in the words of John Lewis, I think that it was successful because still people want to make that happen. I think it was successful because it also, I think, from what I saw online and social media, it actually has an effect that young people who were watching it, who were marching on Friday, are in, and many of them who marched today as well and demonstrated, I think are excited that we're just not this being in the on the weekend marches on the Saturday or Friday afternoons or Fridays, but we'll be here Monday. And we'll come back again Tuesday and Wednesday to make sure that people understand this is an urgency. This is a climate crisis.
So when you say come back Tuesday, Wednesday, does that mean that the plan is to keep D.C. shut down further through the week the way that it is today?
Possibly. I mean, that's the reality. I think that we've been in talks to feel like, listen, if there is a need to continue these types of demonstrations, to shut down D.C. beyond just one day, then I think we'll do that. And so I think that that's part of it. I mean, and I mean that we want the conversation of the climate crisis to be taken as seriously as what it means to be inconvenienced by trying to go to work or you know, get your coffee.
We're speaking to Reverend Lennox Yearwood, the CEO of Hip Hop Caucus, one of the organizers who put together the Shutdown D.C. protest. Glad to hear from you, including those of you who support this protest. Catherine emailed, as a D.C. person, I was glad to be shut down this morning. The kids are right. The world is on fire. Mm. Go, young protesters. Thank you. It's interesting how young people, as they do with every social movement, have taken the reins in this social movement and kind of forced people to look at it a different way.
Well, they're the ones. I mean, obviously, people are hurting now, particularly people of color, hurting, you know, first and worst because of the climate crisis. We've seen that in the Bahamas. Obviously, started with Katrina, Superstorm Sandy. We see it with pollution. 68% of people of color, particularly black people, live within 30 miles of coal-fired power plants, which gives emphysema and cancer and asthma. And so we see the crisis in many forms. And I think young people, which is so amazing, they realize that if we don't transition, that those young folks who are 15 now, 50 years from now, man, my goodness, when they're 65, oh my goodness, they're saying, well, these storms and these droughts will get, I mean, listen, the Amazon, the wettest place on our planet is on fire. The Arctic is on fire. I mean, we've literally, paradise in California is completely destroyed. So I think that they are realizing if it's bad now in 2019, just imagine what it's going to look like 50 years from now. So this discomfort in the same way, I say this discomfort in the same way for young people who went to the lunch counter in Greensboro when they were at North Carolina A&T, a black college, and they had to go to the lunch counter. I'm sure those who were eating their breakfast that morning at the Woolworths lunch counter didn't want to see young folks come there protesting. I'm sure they just want to eat their eggs and drink their coffee and go about their business. But those young people, those young black youth came and sat down to make a change. And as it was for them, this crisis is our lunch counter moment for the 21st century.
Daniel wrote on our Facebook page, unfortunately, this hurts the wrong people. It's not going to motivate Congress or the president to do anything. Rev, what about the people who are stuck in traffic, who are having trouble getting to work, who agree with this cause, but who are the ones who are the most disadvantaged? I mean, if you are wealthy and you know, powerful enough, you can just telecommute, you can take a day off, you can tell your employees, hey, the boss isn't going to be here today, good luck getting to work.
I think the reality, like we've done with the gay rights movement, we've done with the women's rights movement, civil rights movement, is that we've had to sometimes cause situations. When Rosa Parks sat down on the bus, I'm sure, and then the bus boycott that came behind that, I know that that caused many people to be uncomfortable. Matter of fact, it was those who actually most impacted were people of color after Rosa Parks sat down.
Well, but when Rosa Parks started the Montgomery bus boycott, the NAACP had already arranged for people to walk to work together. So the people who'd be affected already had like a backup plan.
No, that was afterwards though. But when it initially happened, the first instance when Rosa Parks gets arrested, I mean, obviously there's a lot of anxiety because people don't know what's going to happen.
So is there concern that part of this might be affecting people whose support you kind of already
of
have?
Of course. No, there's no doubt that we definitely understand, no doubt, that people who are most impacted and also are most vulnerable can be hurt by this disruption today. But unfortunately, we're at a point where the fossil fuel industry does not care about us or anybody else but their bottom line and their greed. And so we want to be in a position where we need to make sure that this industry understands that this is a moment of crisis.
Who do you want today's strike to mostly impact? Is it the fossil fuel industry? Is it Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell? Is it the Democrats? Like, who do you want to shake awake from this?
Well, yes, yes, and yes. We want to shake all of them. We definitely want to shake.
But do you think Mitch McConnell is paying attention to this?
Well, I think his staff definitely, if they come to D.C., definitely will pay attention. I definitely think so. I think McConnell, the White House, Democrats, I mean, we had a hard time even trying to get a climate debate with Democrats. So I think this is not just about Republican or Democrats, but about humanity. I think that our goal here is to shake up those who are so reliant on the fossil fuel industry and receiving money from the entity that is no longer an acceptable form for us right now in the 21st century.
Before I let you go, for people who are moved, who are affected by today's strike, what's the one main thing that you want people to do or maybe do differently as a result of today's action?
Yeah, no, the one thing is that we must tell the truth. As Greta said when she talked to Congress, we must pay attention to the science and we must get involved. This is not about Republican or Democrat. It's about humanity. And as I said before, this is our lunch kind of moment for the 21st century.
Reverend Lennox Yearwood, the CEO of Hip Hop Caucus, which helped organize the shutdown D.C. protest. Reverend Yearwood, thanks for talking to us.
Thank you so much for having me.
One of our listeners tweeted, "Without addressing climate change, none of everything else matters. Our tribalistic political corners are meaningless if we let climate change continue unfettered. It's my number one issue." Well, you're not alone. The polls show a lot more people say climate change is either at the top or rising to the top in the ballot box, and we'll break down some of those numbers just ahead. I'm Joshua Johnson, and you're listening to 1A from WAMU and NPR.